Must watch radio, or must listen radio, is going on right now. And that is because Mark Ironside has joined us here in studio. How you doing? Do you recognize this gentleman?
I know. It's so nice to see him in person. I miss Dukes.
Likewise, see, Marcus.
I told you that Mark missed you.
I always miss Dukes.
There you go. The old gang is together
again.
I know.
As soon as I walked in the door and I seen him, it was like,
Mark Ironside joining us here to talk some college wrestling, and his appearance brought to you by Kurt Gustafson, Agency of American Family Insurance. Kurt is located right across from the Johnson Avenue Hy-Vee on Johnson Avenue Northwest in Cedar Rapids. How goes it?
Kurt, thank you so much. Everybody out there listening, anybody that pledged me for the Arctic Plunge.
You went over the goal.
I went way over the goal. Way over.
So did the whole works.
And well, yes and no. But I can get to that. But I really appreciate Kurt. He came in with a very nice pledge at the end for me to help me get over that $25,000 goal mark. And that was super, super nice and generous, as well as everybody else here at the station and everybody else out there listening that did pledge. And it's not an easy thing to do. It's so not. I mean, you think about it, I get over 100 pledges a year, and that's a lot of text messages, that's a lot of emails, that's a lot of time, and it's so nice for me to be able to put all that together and do something for the Hawkeye Wrestling Club that, you know, we're back to the I Wrestling program as well too, something that did so much for me, and that's my opportunity, because, you know, I don't make a ton of money selling t-shirts, so that's my opportunity to give back about $25,000 to the Hawkeye Wrestling Club every year. And when you add that up year after year after year after year, that's a lot of money. But I couldn't do it without every single one of you guys out there. But a special big thanks to Kurt for doing that, so I appreciate it very much. And I apologize too, because I did not actually jump in the water. I was not feeling great that day.
Uh-oh.
And I did not want to be around people, and I just didn't feel good, and so I did not go and jump, and I was really glad that I didn't as well. So
enough jumpers there.
There was plenty of jumpers. I don't think they needed to see me. It's the first jump I've missed since 2008 when they started it. I hate to end a streak like that, but if I'm going to end a streak, that's not a bad streak to end, because it's only jumping in water. But I did raise the money. I'd rather have the jumping streak come to an end than raising a good chunk of money come to an end.
Was there a substitute jumper?
I don't think so. I don't know. So going to Mark, you know, Duke's over here who said we raised, I think it was $250,000. Our goal was $150,000. Well, two gentlemen came in at the end and donated $50,000
each. Wow. Oh, my goodness.
Each. So that was an extra $100,000 just out of two people that already give money to the program anyway. So I don't know if they just got to feeling extra special that day or generous that day.
It was a nice day.
But yeah, just those two people alone. So I don't know if you could really count on that every single year. But they did hit their $150,000 mark that they wanted to. So that's an enormous chunk of money, $250,000 in one event with that doesn't take a whole lot of return back. You know, for running the event either. So it's a fantastic event, and Chad Beatty puts a lot of time and effort into that, as well as a bunch of other people, but it was great.
We want to talk a lot about Iowa Penn State, but let's look for a minute at
Ohio State.
And to me, Mark, watching the meet, a lot of things you could pinpoint, teamers return and whatnot, but I look at Cruz and Keeter, the bookends for that lineup coming up with couple big victories.
Huge victories. Those are great big victories for both of those guys. Cruz just keeps getting better every time out. And that's what you want to see. What is he rate up to now? He's up to 23rd, which I still don't think that's very
he's higher than
I think he's higher than that. I mean, he's beat a 18, he's beat a 16, and we're only at 23. And so, I don't know. He's on a win streak. So, he's getting better. And not only is he winning, but he continues to keep putting points on the scoreboard. Obviously, he needs to get better on the bottom position, because the whole third period he got ridden out, and he was just trying to prevent from getting cradled by McCrone. McCrone's very tough. He's got an extremely good cradle. If you watch that match, McCrone actually chose the top position in the third period and went on top because that's all he was looking for. So luckily we had a big enough lead where we could just lay on the bottom and stall and not get cradled and still win the match. But that is obviously not how you want to win or ideal or fun to watch if you're a Hawkeye fan. But he got the job done in a big match. So kudos to him, and he's on the right direction. And then the other bookend is you're talking about heavyweight Ben Keeter. He takes out the number 6 ranked heavyweight Feldman in the country, and he did it on his own shot. You know, it was just really, really good wrestling by him for about 6 minutes. The last minute, Ben kind of went on defense mode. I'd like to have seen him continue to stay in there, wrestling, circling, moving his hands, moving his feet, and not just kind of hanging out, playing the edge and trying to win a match like that. But that's a big victory for him. And it was big for his confidence, and that's the biggest thing. And now Ben, he's going into 2 huge matches again this weekend. Obviously, he's got Kirkley from Penn State that's going to be coming up on Friday night. He's the number 2 ranked heavyweight in the country. And then this Nevels, who used to be at Penn State and is now at Maryland, he's ranked 12. So 2 big matches for him coming up again this weekend. So hopefully that built some confidence, and it's just a springboard for him from here on out.
And then some of the other highlights. You didn't think Teamer was going, but Teamer went.
I know. I was very impressed. Well, I think, too, we kind of, you know, without having Drake Ayala in the lineup and giving up a lot of points there, we didn't really know what was going to happen. Mm-hmm. And it felt like maybe, you know what, we kind of need to wrestle Teamer right now against a very talented and tough Sammy Sasso. And, boy, Teamer did not disappoint. It's kind of interesting because it's not every day that you see someone get 3 beautiful, beautiful, nice offensive takedowns, but yet still get called for stalling 3 times in a match. And that's the only stall point. That's the only stall calls there were in the match. And I know Tom was pretty upset about that, but I'm not going to argue with the referee because we were doing a lot of backing up in that match. And I really believe that those stall calls were kind of warranted. But when you look at the score, it doesn't really make sense. But when he wanted to do something, holy smokes, he did it, and he is freaking good. But he's going to be tested big time this Friday night against Penn State when he takes on Shane Van Ness, who's in some rankings the number 1 ranked guy in the country, or the 3rd. So it kind of depends on what ranking you're looking at, but this is going to be a big test for Ja'Cory Teamer.
Messenberg.
Or is that who he's wrestling? I thought it was Ness. Oh, that Ness is 49. Yeah. He's wrestling Kasich. My bad, Tyler Kasich, yeah. Messon brings that 65. But Tyler Kasich, who's ranked 1st or 3rd for Penn State. So that should be a barn burner of a duel, but a barn burner of a match.
All right. I'm here to ask tough questions.
All right. I love that with Martin back. All right. Speed round with Martin, tough questions.
Isaac has applied to be Gabe Arnold's PR director.
Okay.
You saw what Gabe Arnold said after the match.
Yeah.
He said it before against Sturaci.
Yep.
Sturaci says, I didn't know Gabe Arnold was the number 1 guy.
Yeah, as in starter.
What do you make of all of it?
I think that Sturaci is in a position and where he doesn't really have anything left to prove. I think he's like the man. I think he's proven himself over and over. I think he's very, very warranted of being the man in the number 1 ranking, and I think he's that good. I think Gabe Arnold is probably going to be eat a big old honking humongous 14-inch pie of humble pie. And would I like to see him beat Sturaci? Absolutely. But that is not who Mark Ironside is. Never in a million years would I have gone on and called out Kerry Colott and what did he say? Something and then book it. What did he say?
What did he say, Isaac?
Your head is mine or something like
I'm
that.
I'm coming for your head or something like that and book it. I'm like, dude, come on. You know, why would you give a guy, a 4-time national champion, Carter Sturaci, more fuel to the fire and bulletin board material? And when you just barely beat a guy that's ranked, what was he ranked? Was he even ranked? Ragazzi?
Yeah, he was, 11th-ish?
It was somewhere in the 10s.
At the end of the day, we don't have any room to be running our mouth at all whatsoever, and that is definitely not my style. I don't even care if I do have room to run my mouth. I'm not going to do it. You don't see Carter Sturaci running his mouth, and that's what makes Carter Sturaci pretty freaking good. You know, he could have said all kinds of stuff to Gabe, but he didn't. He's going to let his talking be done on the mat. So we're going to see what happens. You know, it might be a good learning opportunity here for Gabe to, you know, to mind your elders and don't say nothing until you are warranted and able to say something. Now, I hope Mark Irons can eat some humble pie, and then Gabe Arnold goes out there and beats Carter Strachey. I will be the first one to take a big old piece of humble pie. Okay, but that's just that's not smart in my opinion.
True, but we'll see how it plays out. Isaac's still applying for his that position.
I don't know. To be his media guy. I've been asked a couple times if the team or the college students actually go to media training and kind of like a short media school of like how to talk to the media, things to say, things not to say, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. I really, really don't. But some of the things I've heard athletes say over the years, I was like, oof, they should be going, that's for sure. Or Tom should just say, you know what? They're off limits. They're not talking to the media at all anymore. Okay,
pull a Kirk.
Yeah. Whatever you got to do.
I want to ask you about the feelings toward Penn State. And not just among Hawkeye fans, Hawkeye wrestlers, but nationally. We know all about Penn State, what it has done, and what it's probably going to do this year. Mark, my analogy is kind of like in 2025, people hate the Chiefs. Why? Because they win.
Yep.
They're going to hate the Dodgers. Why? Because they got deep pockets.
And they win.
But Kale Sanderson is not a brash guy. And I think he's fairly likable, but what's the attitude towards Penn State? Because Iowa was Penn State at one time.
Yeah.
And wants to be again.
And everybody hated us for it. Yeah. Hated Iowa. And the funny thing is, they don't hate Penn State like they hated Iowa. Mm. And people still hate Iowa. I mean, hate Iowa wrestling. And we're not even within 100 points of winning a title. Kale Sanderson does, and their team, they do not give social media, they do not give their opponents, they do not give opposing fans anything to really hate them for other than winning. And that's why there's whether you like them winning or not, you have to respect what they're doing. Not what they've done, but what they're still continuing to do. And you can't hate on them. I mean, the fans and the other programs chase them. They have to start looking at themselves like, what do we need to do to catch Penn State and then to beat Penn State?
And I think that's what David Taylor's starting to do at Okie State.
100%. No doubt. And it's going to take a lot of doing, there's no doubt, because Kale and his staff have it going on. Now, they've had deep pockets for a long time that no one else has had. But now that the NIL's come into play, they still have deep pockets, more than most everybody out there. But other people now have some money to play with, and it might start evening out the field a little bit. So, but at the same time, they still do an amazing job coaching and developing their athletes, obviously. I mean, typically, not all the time, but typically they're pretty fun to watch, and they're aggressive, and they're offensive, and they continue to keep doing it. They don't get tired. They don't play the edge. Yeah, they play the rules a lot of times. They ride the ankles, but you can't fault them for that. I mean, is that my personal style, sitting around riding an ankle if it's allowed in the rules? No, because I'm not really gaining anything by doing it other than a boring match and riding time. But they're not doing anything outside the rules, so you can't really hate on them for that. So that's my take on it. I don't really worry about Penn State or care about Penn State or hate on Penn State. I would more so worry and think about how we need to develop as an Iowa wrestling program to catch them and then beat them. What do we need to do? And that's where my mindset would really be at. So,
which is why, as Mark Ironside joins us here on a Wednesday at 3:34, I'm going to 2757 has a question. I'm going to reword it a little bit because I know the answer to it. They're asking you, is this a must win against Penn State? No, it's not a must win against Penn State. I'm going to ask you, okay, what does, in order to pull off the upset, who needs to win for Iowa?
Well,
in your opinion,
absolutely not. It's a must. It's not a must
win.
We're not even close to being favored to winning this. I mean, this is one versus two, but I mean, there's light years. We're not expected to even come close to winning this. Duel me. So it's not a must win. Like, this isn't a make or break or anything. 25. I mean, I'll just go through the lineup really quick. 25. They're heavily favored. I think, you know, if we could keep that within a regular decision, that's a good victory for Joey Cruz. Mm. Not a victory, but that's a good match for Joey Cruz if we can keep it within regular decision. 133, I mean, I look for Drake Ayala, who's the only 33-pounder listed in the lineup. I don't know why he didn't wrestle against Ohio State. He came out. He was on the bench. He looked perfectly fine or whatever. Maybe he tweaked something in practice that week. I don't know. Maybe time was given just to give him a day off before a big match against Penn State. I don't know.
Isaac,
there was a lot of discussions about a private conversation he had with Drake Ayala without disclosing too much. So I don't know, but it seems like Ayala was maybe worried about something nagging him, and Brand said, don't push yourself too far if you don't need to, sort of messaging. Yeah, but I mean, he didn't go too deep into it, as Brands usually avoids questions about injuries.
Yeah, Tom never elaborates on anything injury-related for sure. But, yeah, I see Drake winning that match. God, I would hope so. It's against the 7th, 9th guy in the country, who Braden Davis, who's extremely good, and he's tough, he's talented. That's not going to be no gimme match for Drake Ayala, but that's a must-have match for Iowa. That's one we're favored in. We should for sure win. I don't see us getting bonus points there, but I see us getting a victory there. 41, that's not good for us. That's going to be most likely bonus points for Penn State. Hopefully we can just stay off our back. 49 is a monster of a match. You got Kyle Parco, who's ranked 2nd, 3rd, 4th, whatever you want to look at there, versus Shane Van Ness, who's ranked 3rd, 4th. That's going to be a very interesting matchup, and that's a flip of the coin right there. Kyle Parco has not really impressed the last couple few times out, where he just hasn't put a lot of points on the scoreboard and kind of done enough to win. And that's just not how you continue to get better. And Van Ness, he is a goer. So it's going to be a fun match to watch.
Parco is also 0-2 against Van Ness in his college career.
Well, there you go. I didn't actually look that far in the notes. I was wishing I did. So this is a big match for, if anything, I mean, Van Ness then is favored in this match. So I look for us to win that match. But at the same time, if Van Ness does, then it's not like it's an upset or anything like that.
57 is going to be
another,
great.
You know, that's going to be another interesting matchup, as we already talked about with Teamer and Kasich. The thing that is in question with Teamer is what his conditioning looks like. He's not an overly aggressive wrestler. He doesn't wrestle hard for 7 minutes, but man, when he does something, it is explosive, and he usually typically scores. But Kasich is—he's going to come out. He's going to wrestle hard for 7 minutes. He's going to push the pace, and Teamer's going to try and slow down the pace. He's going to try and make it his pace. Probably going to be some more stalling calls in this match, not going our way. So it's going to have to be a situation when Teamer pulls the trigger, he's going to have to score. And I'm curious to see how his conditioning plays a toll in this match. He never really. He likes to keep it at a slow enough pace towards conditioning because it doesn't become a factor. But when now all of a sudden you're wrestling a guy like Kasich who pushes it so hard where, you know what, either you're going to get dinged for stalling quite a bit or you got to start wrestling, it's going to be an interesting matchup. 65, Caliendo, ranked 2nd in the country, taking on Messenbrink. 1 in the country, Caliendo has wrestled Messenbrink, I know, twice last year, and got his butt whipped bad both times. Even close.
Messenbrink hasn't let up a takedown all year. He hasn't been scored all year, except for escape points.
Yeah, so I would like to see, I mean, if we can keep that at a regular decision and maybe even sneak a takedown in, that's a good match for Caliendo. It'd be great if he could actually just somehow find a way to get a takedown, and then that's like breaking the ice right there. Okay, like, hey, this guy is human type of thing, you know? But we need to figure some things out in order to have that happen, even though it's 1 versus 2. It was a big difference between the two of those last year. So, obviously, they're favored there. 74, they're favored there. 2 ranked Levi Haynes, who's also another goer. Very fun to watch wrestle. He's very good at lateral motions. He's good at low-level attacks. He's good at underhooks. He's good at just moving and scoring from so many different positions. And the last couple of matches, for whatever reason, Patrick Kennedy has really struggled in finding his offense. He has not had any actual offensive takedowns in 2 matches. Now, granted, those are against 2 tough kids, 2 tough people. Yep. But what I see is that he's just not doing enough with his hand fighting and circling and motion and going to two-on-ones and wrist ties to create action and create motion to move his opponents and get him out of position so he can start pulling the trigger and finish. We're just kind of like going across, straight on, doing the same things, and if it doesn't work, then it doesn't work. In the situations with these matches, you've got to find things that work. You got to make something work, and we're just not having that level of intensity and getting to that next level that we need to make something happen. And that's what needs to be done. Now, Levi's going to be coming at Patrick hard, so hopefully that's going to create some scrambles and maybe something to have in Patrick, but they're definitely favored at 174. 184, obviously, they're heavily favored, in my opinion, at 184. 197, that's a matchup. It's a fun matchup. I mean, if one guy's solid for us all year, it's Buchanan, our number one ranked heavy 97-pounder, taking on Barr, who's a number four ranked heavyweight, 97-pounder. So, this is going to be a good test for Buchanan. I think this is going to be his biggest test of the year so far, for sure. But I look for us to come out ahead in that match. I mean, that's a must-have for the Hawkeyes to even, you know, keep this close. And the same thing at heavyweight. Kirkley's a favorite over Keeter. But I would like to see Keeter at least, boy, you know, a good match for him would be to score a takedown somehow, somewhere along the way. Put some points on the scoreboard and have it a really good, hard-fought match, win or lose. At least get some points on the scoreboard and continue to build your confidence and close that gap with him.
What's the environment like out there?
It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. It's an arena. Bryce Jordan Arena is built for concerts, so they got all the flashy stuff in there. Versus Carver, we don't really have the flashy stuff like these guys have. I mean, the whole entire arena is like a entertainment, you know, venue. And they got enormous big screen, drop-down screen, TVs all around the place. The sound system, everything is just, it's unreal. It's like going into a concert. They always put it up on an elevated stage, which just gives it that much more magnitude and meaning to it. And it's so fun as an athlete and a competitor to go up on top of those steps and be on an elevated stage in front of, like, I think it's 16,000-plus people that Bryce Jordan Arena holds. I mean, imagine that. 16,000-plus people screaming and yelling. It's dark in there. There's a spotlight on you. The music's playing. It's just you and one other guy. That 16,000 plus people, not even including all the people that are watching on the Big Ten Network live that are watching. That type of situation, people look at it as pressure. I look at it as like, this is what you're born to do. I mean, this is like, this is what you train for. This is like the most exciting moment, and this is what defines you as an athlete and as a person and your personality and your character. This is who you are. And it's not just about win or lose, but it's how you compete. You know, and that, you know, that's why I look at this dual meet. We're not favored to win, but I want to see us compete. I want to see us in matches. I want to see us fighting. I want to see us getting some takedowns, maybe when we're not supposed to. I want to put Penn State on their heels a little bit, which nobody else has even come close to doing all year long.
Yeah.
Find out that, hey, you know what? These guys are human.
Measuring stick.
Yeah. I mean, it is a measuring stick, and it's going to let us know where we're at compared to the best, and that's what you want.
Mm-hmm. And then Maryland on Sunday. Don't want to forget about Maryland. I mean, Iowa should win over Maryland, but
it's not a
slam dunk,
though.
Yeah,
they got another tough 57-pounder in there. Teamer's got two tough matches this weekend. And then, as we mentioned, too, Keeter's got a tough match against their heavyweight. They're 2-0 in Neville's. So besides that, we should win those matches. I mean, 41, I mean, we don't really know what's going to happen there, but 25 we should win. But I mean, we could win every match against Maryland, or we could win. We could lose three. That's kind of how I look at it.
Yeah. Okie State was here. Great to see a full house up at McLeod Center for UNI Okie State. Yeah. Okie State came through, and then Okie State went over to Ames and really looked good.
Yeah.
They're a good team.
They are a really good team. But I'll tell you what, I watched that duel live Friday night between UNI and Okie State, and I am very, very impressed with UNI. I mean, I am very impressed with that team and just how they compete. I mean, Doug Schwab doesn't have all the top recruits in the country. He doesn't have crap for NIL money. You know, he hasn't gone out and bought a lineup. He has all of his original recruits in his lineup, and they're still ranked fifth in the country and pushing. They're pushing Oklahoma State to the brink. That's impressive. Mm-hmm. Oklahoma State, half their team is bought and paid for, and little Doug Schwab and you and I up there, that is 100% a natural recruited team, and they're pushing Okie State to the brink. And Okie State absolutely demolished Iowa State. And I'm really looking forward to this Iowa State and UNI matchup. Yeah. That's at the McLeod Center, too, I believe, this year. And that's on senior day for UNI. So that's going to be an interesting, fun duo. And I think that'll be a lot of fun for Doug Schwab. Now, I don't care. I mean, Iowa State, yeah, they've been plagued by injuries. And that's, you know, unfortunate, but that's how it is usually for Iowa. That's how it always is for us. It's like, dang,
everybody except Penn State.
Yeah, and Penn State, and I think it's a lot of how they train and how they compete in the room, and they wrestle through positions. They're typically in control, and it just somehow they skirt around being injured on a regular basis or anything real serious. A
couple things on the text line here, and I think he answered one of them about Teamer. From 1207, that his style is just, looks like he can score anytime he wants. He's just so laid back that he's going to get those stalling calls every once in a while. So we kind of answered that a little bit. And we answered this, you've answered this one last year, I think, 23-25, asking the difference between Iowa and Penn State. It's not that Iowa's recruiting has dropped off that much, but in the pre-NIL era, I mean, Penn State had some. They had deep pockets.
Deep pockets.
As you mentioned. Yep. And everything is, football is kind of going away. It's getting a bigger separation. Wrestling, that is kind of the opposite is happening in that sport, which is weird.
It really, really is. I mean, obviously Penn State's been getting a lot of the top recruits in the country for years and years and years. I mean, yeah, we got Spencer Lee, but that's just one person. I'll be curious to see how some of these top recruits, you know, in the high school recruits right now and what they do and where they go. I mean, like I said, I mean, Iowa is always going to be a contender. We are Iowa. There's a lot of heritage there. There's a lot of history there in that program and a lot of tradition. And then now you throw in Oklahoma State and David Taylor, who's a new, fresh face and name with extremely deep pockets, just as much as Penn State, if not more. And so it's going to be interesting to kind of see what happens. But at the same time, you can't, like I said earlier, you can't fault Penn State because even though they get some great athletes, they still continue to develop them too. It's not like those athletes just go in there and then just, you know, they're just good because who they are. They train themselves every single day. That's not the case. Cale Sanders has built a dynasty there and done it and in a good manner. And then the other thing is he brings in these amazing past World and Olympic champions to train with their guys that they wrestle with on a daily basis. And so the guys that they, the depth and the guys that they have to train with in that room are incredible. And the Hawkeye Wrestling Club members talk about it all the time with guys like Spencer Lee. I mean, Spencer Lee in the room, look at, I mean, how lucky can you be to be Drake Ayala right now, you know? And I can attest for it too. You know how lucky I was? And that's what springboarded me, took me from being an okay high school wrestler to a pretty decent wrestler in college at a pretty quick pace, was because I had opportunity to wrestle Tom and Terry Brands every single day. Two world champions in my back pocket right there. And if it wasn't for those guys, there's no way, no way I would have had the success in college that I did, especially at early on. No way. Not even close. But because it was those guys that were in the room. And obviously having Coach Dan Gable as a coach helped a little bit too.
Where are you going? Thursday?
Well, yeah, we leave tomorrow.
All right.
Leave tomorrow.
Bring enough clothes.
Yeah, that's kind of a long trip. This is the longest trip we have all year long, except for until the Nationals in Philadelphia, which I am really, really not looking forward to.
You got 9671 all excited on the text line.
I do?
You did. You got him excited.
All right.
Or her excited. I don't know what him or her, I don't know, but you got them excited, they said.
Good. Hopefully the Iowa Hawkeyes can get even more excited Friday night because I don't mean the squad anymore. Just those guys are the ones out there doing the job. I wish I had eligibility still, but those days are long gone. So that's why you take advantage of it when you can. You don't freaking let clock waste around. You know, you take advantage of the clock whenever you possibly can and be ready to go every single match.
Thank you, Mark.
All
good
right,
job.
Fellas.
We'll talk about it next week.
All right. We'll have a lot to talk about.
A lot to talk about.
Sure is good to see Dukes again.
Likewise,
that's why
Mark.
I'm fired up. I got Dukes sitting right here next to me. I'm so excited.
Watch this. He's going to give an Evil's Hideaway scoreboard update.
You this wanna... is exciting, Mark.
All right. Thanks, fellas. We'll see you.
Thanks, Mark.
Thanks, Marcus.
Have a good trip.